Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know our lives. You know all that we face, all that we are going through, all that is ahead of us. And we thank you that you are the God who is working out your purpose through your Son. We pray that as we turn to your word now, you would help us to grasp more of your purpose and see its significance and meaning. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, I wonder if you've ever had that experience where you're looking forward to something and it turns out to be even better than you had expected. Perhaps you knew that you were going to get a birthday or Christmas present from someone, but it turns out to be literally just what you needed. Or you go on holiday and what you thought would be decent accommodation is close to perfect in practice. Or you get invited to a social event, a little nervous, but the company is warm and interesting, and you return home feeling great. Well, sometimes our horizons can be unhelpfully limited. Our vision for something can be too small. We can fail to anticipate just how good something really is going to be. Well, for a variety of reasons, as Christians, we can be like that about God's plan for the future. We believe, yes, that there is more to life than that which we know now. We believe in life after death. We know that the Bible talks about heaven. But when we look at what these things mean, we actually find a much bigger and more all-encompassing vision than we might have previously appreciated. Over the last few weeks, we've been reflecting on the meaning and significance of the resurrection of Jesus. And what we discover is that the Bible's teaching about Jesus' resurrection is the basis of a truly amazing and wonderful future for his people. So do turn to page 1219 of those black church Bibles, 1219. And what we read is the opening to the first New Testament letter of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, these words are written by the former Middle Eastern fisherman turned apostle and leader of the church in Jerusalem, Peter. And he writes to Christians scattered around what is today called Turkey. And he writes, as Ruth reminded us, in order to encourage them to keep going as believers because they were facing severe opposition and persecution. Peter calls these readers in verse 1 the elect exiles. That is, they are away from their true home, which is heaven, and yet they have the assurance that they do belong to God the Father through Jesus, whose shed blood cleanses them, and they are made acceptable to God by his Holy Spirit. Well, Peter then, in verse 3, cries out in praise, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It is the fact that God the Father has raised Jesus that is the basis of our confidence for the future. Christians are then those who, by God's undeserved mercy, have been given new birth. We have been born again. As we considered on Pentecost Sunday, God gives new life by his Spirit to Christians as his Spirit works the truth of his word in us. And that means that we have hope. But it isn't just some sort of vague, naive optimism. It is what Peter calls a living hope, a confidence in the future that is securely grounded. If God has raised Jesus, if Jesus is alive, if God has overcome the effects of death for him, then those who are united to him by believing in him will share his life and all the benefits of his victory. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we considered how, according to Philippians chapter 3, God will transform our lowly bodies to be like Jesus's glorious body. Jesus was raised physically with a body like his original one, but also transformed and fitted for life in a new dimension. That means that Christians believe not merely in the immortality of the soul, but as the Creed summarizes the Bible's teaching, we believe in the resurrection of the body. Now, what we see from the rest of the Bible is that the Christian hope focuses not only on our future as individuals, but also on what you might call a cosmic future. Jesus being raised with a real, physical, transformed body is God's pledge that the whole world will one day be remade, transformed, and renewed. Jesus speaks in Matthew 19:28 of the renewal of all things that is to come. And Peter, in his second letter, foretells that this present physical world will be replaced by what he calls a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness and peace. You see, God is not just going to raise believers with transformed bodies, but when Jesus returns, he will remake and transform the entire universe so that a perfected material and real world will be present in which to live. Now, what this shows us is that we have perhaps been too influenced in our understanding of heaven by medieval paintings of angels on clouds strumming harps as if the future that we wait for is merely a mystical reality. What the Bible reveals of the future is actually much better than that. Now, the last part of the last book of the Bible, as some of us were reminded at Tuesday at 10 last week, Revelation 21, outlines this vision. The Apostle John says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, that is the skies, and the first earth had passed away. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." See, God's plan is not just to snatch a few people up to a place with no likeness to that which we know here on earth. Rather, it is when Jesus comes back to complete the plan to restore and renew his creation with Jesus as the loving ruler. So the book of Revelation speaks not so much of people going up to heaven, but rather of the new Jerusalem coming down. Now, this new creation, with all that is good from this creation, perfected and transformed, will be focused on the greatness and wonder of God himself and of Jesus, who has made it all possible. The good things of this life can then be seen as pointers to the future. If certain things in this life bring us joy, how fantastic must the new creation be? This new creation, which is what we look forward to through Christ, will be lived in by whole people in resurrected, transformed bodies. And this new creation will exclude all that is broken, sad and evil. We don't have to be here for long to realize that such things, such experiences are real in our world. And yet that new creation will instead be a place of healing, joy, purity and peace. So Revelation 21 verse 3 says, "Having seen the new heaven and the earth," John says, "and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." Well, this is the confidence that Peter describes in our reading. We have this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that involves, verse 4, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You see, heaven, where God the Father now rules with Jesus, God the Son, at his right hand, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, will one day be joined to a renewed earth. And as we wait for this new creation to be established, whether we die before it comes and go to be safely with Jesus in the Father's house and, as it were, wait with him there, or whether we continue to wait here in this life, this wonderful inheritance is kept. It is safeguarded by God. All that we look forward to, says Peter, is imperishable. It cannot be removed. It is undefiled, perfect in every way, without any evil or brokenness. And it is unfading. It will remain perfect forever. And those with this confidence through Jesus are themselves protected, verse 5, protected by God's power, being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The new creation is the fulfillment of the salvation, the rescue that Jesus has won through his death and resurrection. And one day in the future, it will be fully completed. Now, when we have this sort of confidence for the future, a new place in God's new creation, guaranteed by Jesus' resurrection, it makes a big difference to our lives in the here and now. Peter writes, verse 6, "In this hope you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You see, life as we wait for this new creation will not always be easy. For the Christians who first heard these words, life was extremely tough. They were hated and opposed and faced the trials of persecution. For us, there will be what Peter calls various trials. But our belief in Jesus will survive. Indeed, it will sustain us. And in the end, when the new creation comes, that will lead to all the credit going to Jesus, who has won our place in that new world for us. Now, this future reality not only helps us to keep going in the difficulties of life because better is to come, it has direct impact on today in another sense too. As a Christian university professor has put it, the message of the resurrection is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ, and you are now invited to belong to it. The resurrection shows that God's kingdom has already been launched. So when we care for someone in Jesus' name, when strengthened by his Spirit, we serve others in our workplace, when we study for his name at school or college, when we make peace in relationships, when we stand firm for Jesus and don't simply go with the flow of the secular world, when we have an opportunity to help someone think about Jesus' good news, when we play our part in the community of the local church, all these things anticipate the final new creation and are pointers to what God is going to do. Nothing then is wasted. All can be used by God as his purpose reaches its climax in a completed transformed new world. Now, this great view of the future is the Christian hope. We know only too well that this world is a broken place. There is sickness and disease and death and brokenness and damaged relationships and so many things. And that is all because we as a human race have turned away from God. But through Jesus, God is bringing about a renewal. A renewal that will be completed one day, guaranteed by Jesus' resurrection. As the Christian writer Jim Packer has put it, optimism hopes for the best without any guarantee of its arriving, and is often no more than whistling in the dark. Christian hope, by contrast, is faith looking ahead to the fulfillment of the promises of God. Mere optimism is a wish without warrant. Christian hope is a certainty guaranteed by God himself. Optimism reflects ignorance as to whether good things will ever actually come. Christian hope expresses knowledge that every day the believer can say with truth, on the basis of God's own commitment, that the best is yet to come. Well, sometimes in life we are surprised when things are even better than we expected. And sometimes that is because our vision is too small. And so often that is true with our grasp of God's promise for the future. We have been given a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that hope is not vague and mystical, it is real and physical. A new world is coming. A restored and renewed creation will be made known. And having that to look forward to gives us great confidence now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are working out your purpose. And though sometimes living in this world it can be a dark place, a painful, difficult place, we thank you that it will not always be like that. We pray that you might build our confidence in Jesus. Jesus who was raised from the dead, guaranteeing something better, a new transformed world. We pray that you might build that hope and confidence in us for Jesus' sake. Amen.